All right, I think you have a handout tonight. I don't know how far we'll get. We're a little bit behind in time tonight, but this will be really an introduction to this next point. We're talking about Proverbs, and we're looking at different things Proverbs talks about when it talks about avoidance. Did we pass out the handouts? Anybody have a Proverbs handout? Anybody need one? How do we do that? If you need one, raise your hand. Okay, there's a few everywhere. Okay. It's like, oh, there's a few down here and here and over there. Okay, well, that's good. We'll get those out to you. Thanks for that. There's quite a few hands in here. As they're getting that, we're talking about Proverbs, again, in avoidance. We know wisdom is the ability to apply God's truth to our life, and that's what we want to do. We just finished a section over the course of a couple weeks about avoiding selfish pursuits, just living our own life. Over here to your right are some as well. And just doing what we want as opposed to doing what God wants. Now we're going to talk about the next thing. Number nine is this, sloppy parenting. Sloppy parenting, okay? Back here. Our society has a lot of problems. How many of you know that? Okay? It's not just who's in elected office, although that's a big problem. And you can look at a bunch of different ills. The biggest problem in our country is what is happening to the family, the destruction of the family. It's killing our society. It's doing a really good job. Our society is just about on life support. And understand this, that's the first bullet. One of the greatest problems we have is destruction of family. And the ones who suffer most when the family is not right is children. Children are the ones that take the hit when families are not right, when families are destroyed. Yes, it's bad for everybody, but it is especially destructive for children. And what happens is, if not careful, if not for the grace of God, it perpetuates to the next generations. Okay? And so we need to understand the family is important. Without the family, nothing is going to work. There are many reasons why the family is falling apart. Let me give you some of them because I want to rant for a while. All of this whole LBGQ, AAA, ZXYM plus plus minus minus nonsense. Yep. Come on. What they've tried to do now is redefine the family. Yeah. And by the way, they've done a really good job. Yeah. I mean, I've talked a lot about the nonsense going on in our public schools and the really, it is pornography. They're given to our kids that are younger, starting out in grade school. But one of the things they've done is they've just destroyed the whole concept of family is husband, wife, children. Yep. They've redefined it. You can redefine something, but that doesn't mean that it's actually right. Yep. So now we redefine a family. A book that would probably be considered benign now, many years ago, it was, Heather has two mommies. And, I have two daddies. That's not a family. But yet we're buying into this thing, hook, line, and sinker, and then you got two guys adopting a baby. We need help with that from God. There is nothing good about that. Nothing good about that. Two women adopting a baby to raise it. By the way, children need a mom and a dad. Two women aren't going to cut it. Two men aren't going to cut it. It's just, it's horrific. Well, we'll just do the, that's not how God created them. And so this whole thing, it's a little, it's just us and love is love. Is it really? Then you get this transgenderism. Now you can be a guy who thinks he's a girl who's a lesbian. Just be a guy. If you like girls, be a guy. Don't be a girl who's a guy dressed as a girl who likes girls. It's killing our families. You know what? The way entertainment portrays families. Okay, I'm not watching all the nonsense, but I guarantee you, show me one where dad is on point, he's spot on, he's being and doing what he's supposed to be doing. Those days are over. I mean, it used to be that way. You know, you watch Andy Griffith, now he smoked. God bless him. But he was a dad, and he didn't have his wife died, I guess, or whatever, but he was a man in that family. And he disciplined his child. Remember the show where the kid, I like Andy Griffith, and kid's in there and he's spoiled rotten, and Andy's trying to deal with him, and his guy's dad comes in, and he's like, what do I do with the kid? And Andy said, if you go out back, I think there's a switch. He said, go spank that kid. Yep. You go to jail now. It's like, you know, it used to be, you know, leave it to Beaver. Mom and dad were in the home. Dad was the dad. Mom was the mom. The kids were the kids. Yep. Now dad's incompetent and clueless. Mom, she's like, you know, super, super aggressive working and all that, but kind of disconnected from the kids, and the kids run the house. That's not how it works. No. And by the way, since you are on this, you brought it up, not me. Don't let your kids watch something that's putting that stuff in there. Well, it's just a cartoon. I know, and it's showing two dads in a home or two moms in a home, or it's showing transgenderism, and you're letting your kids watch that. Well, they know the difference. They won't a couple years from now. Yeah. They watch enough of that nonsense, and then you get up and say, no, God created boys and girls. They're like, well, you're old-fashioned. You just don't know any better. Be careful. Okay. The radical ideologies of the public school system. By the way, that's where all this nonsense started.
That's right.
They kicked God out, and they brought nonsense in.
Yep.
You look at all these woke, radicalized people. Where did they get it all? They got it all in their public colleges.
Yep.
It started in the high schools and the other schools, and they go to a public college, and they're taking classes that are teaching them radical ideology that have nothing to do with an engineering degree because they're trying to change their mind.
Yep.
It's worked. You got some kid that couldn't find his way out of a wet paper bag. He's a sissified little guy, and he's going, oh, you know, this wouldn't have a job. You know why they have time to protest? They don't have jobs.
Yeah, right.
They're killing us. And by the way, they're targeting our children.
Yeah,
the books are there. They're in the library. I have a relative somewhere else, and they were, like, shocked at the books that they're putting out for children. We're not just blowing smoke when we say this, but it's killing our families.
Right.
The evil philosophy of the government towards the parents. By the way, you vote for them if you want, but our governor just signed something into law: less parents' rights now. Yeah. Hiding what the kids are telling the counselors at school. I heard from somebody they have social workers in the schools now who pretend to be counselors. Why are they in there? Because the first time your child says, you know, I think I'm a girl, they're going to hop all over it.
Yep.
Okay? I'm just telling you. Well, that's just preacher talk. Okay, just preacher talk. Do a little research. And by the way, the whole point of that is the law is like you don't have to tell the parents. They're saying it out loud now. By the way, November, vote for who you want to, but you're voting these people into office and they're ripping your parental rights out from under you.
Amen.
They're not going to stop. They say it out loud, the media doesn't show it, and you don't go find it. They're saying that parents don't have a right. Okay. My kids are grown now. This is a battle for the next generation.
Yep.
For my grandkids. Single parent families and easy, no fault divorce, immorality for marriage, which leads to single parents. And I want to say this, I was raised by a single parent. Things happen. That's not a condemnation of single parent families. I was raised in one. My mom did a fantastic, I was a knucklehead. But I only went so far because my mom fought for it. She did the best job she could under those circumstances and kept me from really going over the deep end. She did the right thing. She worked at it. And it happens. And by the way, thank God you're in a church. We work as a team. Okay? So I'm not saying this to condemn if we're in that situation. It happens, right? The best of people, because it takes two in a marriage, the best of people can fall into these situations. What I'm saying is, for those of us that aren't in these situations, let's think it through before we get into these situations. Right? Well, it's just between me and my husband. Really? You had kids together. Work it out. Work together. It's worth the effort. Okay? You know, by the way, some of you in here, I love our singles. We've got a good spiritual group going on here, but some of you are going to deviate here. You're going to go mess around, get pregnant, have children before you're married, and you're going to have big problems. Okay? Wait. Okay? Just look, statistics tell us that those from single family homes, by the way, why is it typically always the mom? Okay? Dad just kind of disappears. That's what we've done in our society. We've pushed the men out of it. And then the men are just taking it because they're lazy. But it tells us they have more of a tendency to be poor. They have more of a tendency to be to do well at school. They are more prone to go to jail. I forgot the last time I heard the statistic, but those of them in jail, I know it was at least 70% of them came from single-parent homes. You know why? They didn't have a dad in the house that said, knock it off.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I, you know what I needed at my house? Yeah. I needed when I came home and I was doing something dumb for a dad to say, what do you think you're doing? Yeah. Yes, sir. Okay? That's what you need.
Yeah.
And so let's work for this. And, you know, sometimes we get in a situation. Get help. There's people that will help. But these are the worst case. It's funny. These are the worst case scenarios of why the family is in trouble. But the last one I'm going to mention is even sadder. Here it is. It's those that are together, married, intact, and yet don't see their responsibility fulfill their duties in the relationship. They're lazy at it. Or they're just, it's not their priority in life. If you're married, can I just tell you something? That's your priority. But I like to do this, this, and this. That's great. Your marriage is your priority. After God. Okay? And by the way, God's no excuse to ditch that responsibility. And then after that are your children. They're your responsibility. Well, I just want to do my thing and I'll touch base with them. The average parent and child have very little interaction with each other on a daily basis. And by the way, gentlemen, that's not just the women's job.
Yep.
That's dad's job.
Oh, yeah.
And so it's sad to have what you should have and you have the good makings and foundation of a family, but because you're not looking at it from God's perspective and you're not putting the time into it and you're not taking it seriously, it's not going to work. They're not working. I think there's a bullet there. They're not working to have a marriage that is loving and lasting. That's what you need to be working at. I'll say it over and over, and I always say, I just said it in the home class. The greatest thing a parents can give their children is a loving mother-father relationship. That's what they need. And then they're also not taking the lead in raising their children. It doesn't just happen by itself. So let's take a look. We'll get to the first one and we'll be good. So how can we avoid sloppy parenting? Here we go. Ready? The parents are the key. The parents are the key. That's it. He says, a man shall not be established by wickedness, but the root of the righteous shall not be moved.
Yes.
Now he's looking at the man here, okay? And this is really what the man should be. We'll get to the women in a minute. He says, a man shall not be established by wickedness. What's established? Secure, It means, the word means secure, stable, enduring, and morally steadfast. He says that does not happen when you are wicked. So, if, by the way, look at that list, okay? If you're talking to a lady, you have common sense. Oh, he's handsome. Get over that, okay? Give him a few years, and he'll lose that. Now, my wife's fortunate. That did not happen to her. But you know, it's probably going to happen to you, okay? And so you need to get over that. There's a lot of handsome guys. Oh, he's handsome. We just enjoy being with each other. And he's, stop that. That's not how you build a marriage. Okay? And I'm not saying find some guy that looks like, you know, he caught on fire and someone put him out with an axe. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying there's some, if you ask a lady what she wants, what lady wouldn't want this? A stable man. Not up and man, not up and down. Some men are just too emotional. It's like, man, I don't even know how to fix it. Okay? And it's just like, they want a stable guy. But it's just, I can trust, he's not up and down, he's just stable. Secure. He can be counted on during tough times. Isn't that what you want? It's like, I know if we're going through a tough time, he's there. Enduring. He's in it for the long haul. You know, too many people, it's like, I don't understand how someone can stay together for 20 years and say, well, you know, we just kind of grown apart, let's move on with our lives. That's ridiculous. After the 20 years is when, believe it or not, the good part comes. It gets better the longer it goes. You say, I don't believe that. Okay. If you do it right, stick it out. And then he's morally right. You don't have to be worrying about him cheating, right? Whether it's emotionally or physically. And by the way, that is just all over our society. That's what a sinful lifestyle leads to. It just, well, you know, hey, whatever. But let's be a man. You're not going to be established by wickedness, but, he says, the root of the righteous shall not be moved. So the only way I can be that type of man is if I avoid wickedness. And again, I'm not saying we're out doing these heinous things, but we're just more into doing what we want to do, even if it's wrong. This is just what guys do. Not real men. We've bought into this macho stupidity. Well, I'm just a man, you know. Blah, blah, blah. No, you are an idiot.
Yep. Come on.
Who tries to... I used to joke around with the boys when they were younger. They say, you know, hey, Dad, I'm a man. I'm like, if you have to tell me, you aren't.
Yep.
Okay. It's like, we don't even know what masculinity is. Being rude and doing this stuff and being disconnected from the family, that's not a man. Okay? To be the right kind of husband and father, you must be the right kind of man.
Yep.
Let's not follow the world. Listen, let me just ask you something. How are the families in the world doing? And I'm not trying to be disrespectful at all. It's heartbreaking. But when you follow the wrong pattern, you're going to get the wrong product. Man, it just doesn't work. And it's tragic. That's why we must constantly be reaching out to people and sharing Jesus Christ, because if he gets a hold of their hearts, not only do they become a better person, they'll have a better marriage, they'll have a better family, and they'll reach that next generation. But it's very important. Ladies, did I forget about you? I didn't. Proverbs 12:4. A virtuous woman is a crown to her husband. But she that maketh ashamed is as rottenness to his bones. It just doesn't sound good.
No.
Rottenness is like decay. It's like literally a wife, we got on the husband, so wives, can we get on you? I know how it works. You know, Mother's Day, we praise you. You can do nothing wrong. And Father's Day, hey, you're a bunch of losers. Get right with God. Okay, so can we both just kind of look at this tonight? But when a guy has a right woman and she is virtuous, it's like, man, that's like, that looks good on the husband.
Come on.
And the thing is, he doesn't deserve any credit for it.
No.
It's who she is.
Yes,
well, you know, Pastor, I met this girl and she is just absolutely a knockout. I know, she'll be knocking you out later on. You know, and I'm all for, I'm all for getting a beautiful girl, but get past that. What's the inside like? If beauty was everything, every Hollywood star wouldn't be having 3, 4, 5 husbands. Right? I still remember. It's the funniest line I ever heard. I was listening to a sports show coming to work years ago. It was Michael Strahan, and he had a divorce. And, like, he got hammered. I mean, she got, like, $100-something million. And the guy had the guts to ask him, like, hey, I mean, you went through that divorce. You lost a lot of money. And here's what he said. Worth every penny. I don't know what was going on in that house. Okay. But you know, when a guy has a good woman, it's like, that's my wife. That's my wife. Proverbs 31, the whole chapter's good. Who can find a virtuous woman? Her price is far above rubies. When you have the right woman, it's like, I'd take her over any amount of money you could give me. I remember years ago, I worked at a warehouse, and it was like 5 of us on our crew, so we had a basketball league at the church, and I was trying to reach these guys, so I'm like, hey, why don't we have our own basketball team? Just the guys from work, you be on my team, we'll go play at church. And like they did. We came. They came, and we played together. We had our team. And but there was one guy in there. I was talking to him one night at work, and you know how these guys are. He goes, you know, I told my wife, if I ever win the lotto, she gets half, and I'm walking out. And I'm like, that sounds horrible. And it's probably just guy talk, right? Well, you know, we were trying to reach him, and I told him, I said, hey, after, why don't you bring your wife down for the basketball game, and after the game, my wife and I will take you out for dinner. I don't know if you remember this, son. We took him out to eat. And I think in the course of conversation, he brought that up. He goes, watch, ask her. Ask her what I told you, Steve. I'm like, okay. I said, hey, your husband was telling me about what he would do if he won the lotto. She goes, I already know. He would give me half of it, and he'd leave. What? I haven't kept up with them. I'm pretty sure that marriage didn't do very well. Can you imagine what your wife thought? Now, I wonder if he'd come to her and says, honey, I won $20. That one. Okay, here we go. No, she'd get a lot more than $20 in the settlement. Trust me on that one. Virtuous woman. The heart, listen to verse 11. Same thing as trusting the man. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. You know, the key word there is virtue. Virtue. A guy that's the right kind of guy is not going to be involved in wickedness, and a girl that's the right kind of girl is going to be a virtuous woman. Yeah. The thing that's important to her is righteousness and being right. Because you understand this, both of them are talking really about the same thing from a different angle, but sin is destructive. And it's not helpful to anything. It tears at the marriage. And so it's very important. Parents are the key to raising children. So what must we do? And we're done. You must be spiritual. There's no way to be righteous and not get involved in wickedness apart from God. Just impossible. We can do the best we can. And there are some people that are moral people. But if we're going to be on that over-the-top side, we need to be following God. We need to be spiritual people. So we need to be spiritual, which means we must not be selfish. We look at relationships sometimes as parents and in marriage, like, what am I getting out of this relationship? You know, I have found that whatever you give to something, you typically are going to get the same out. Yeah. You can't have a good relationship where one person is a taker and the other is just a giver, because eventually a person has no more to give. But if you have the right two people, they're not concerned about what they get, they're concerned about what they give, and you have two people that are like that, you got something. Yeah. You got something good. And so the parents are the key. If we're going to have the families we should, it starts and ends really right there with the parents. Let's stand together. Thank you for listening. We're a little bit fast this evening. And by the way, thank you for coming out on an off night, Tuesday night. Not our typical night, and I appreciate you being faithful and being in your place. Of course, we don't have Thursday because singles retreat. We are excited about that, but there will be regular Saturday schedule, except for all the singles that'll be gone. So still meeting in the, did we meet in the Spanish auditorium? I think we've been meeting in here, right? But Tim, we can meet over there, can't we? So we'll meet over there. Those that are here, we'll meet over there for the prayer faithfulness rally at 9:30, okay? Let's pray together. We'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, thank you for its admonitions to help us to be what we should be in our families. Lord, and it starts with us personally, especially the parents, the mom and the dad. Lord, if we'll just be right in who we are, we will accomplish and do that which we are supposed to, and we'll be able to give something to the children. Bless us now as we go our way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.